All right, so welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast, and today we're going to review a movie that we had already reviewed in 2018, which is Bumblebee, the Transformers movie, solo movie for Bumblebee, and the person that didn't think that he had punished himself enough to not have seen this movie has seen this movie. So, Keith, what did you think of Bumblebee?
The first 5 minutes and the little moments of Cybertron in between are what saved this movie for me. Cybertron intro, I was like, I'm done. That was worth $10 admission price. I was perfectly fine from then on. But as the movie carried on, I thought that the movie was, it showed a lot of promise. It had all the story that it should have. It didn't get overly convoluted. It told a very simple story, one that's been done before in different genres and different characters. But at the same time, it was one that was served its purpose for retelling the Transformers story and reintroducing kids and people to the Transformers lore. What I was extremely happy with was that explosive Cybertron intro showed every Transformer that I owned. I was literally pointing at the screen like, Shockwave, Soundwave, I had all of them. I had that one. That's Ratchet. That I was going back and forth. I was like, oh my God, this is great. I was very happy with a lot of that. And I was happy with the way they were characterized for the brief moment they saw them. I like Bumblebee's sort of transformation. I wasn't sure how it was going to play out, showing that Bumblebee lost his memory and stuff, and he didn't get it back until towards the end of the movie. I was sort of fine with that. The negative side to this whole thing was the human characters and him and that girl, what the heck was her name? Charlie, played by Hailee Steinfeld. She's a good actress, but oh my God. I was missing Shia LaBeouf after a while, after a couple minutes. I mean, he was a lot more fun, but I've seen this movie before. There's got to be an 80s movie I've seen that I've forgotten that's had the exact same plot and exact same story beats as this. Again, I didn't mind so much because they were just doing a retelling of reintroduce everything. And for the most part, I felt there were too many points where I just kind of wished that they would just hurry up and get to the action. There's way too much of the whole, I'm the bumbling giant robot in the world and everything. It'd have been nice if our friend had stepped up and said, is this some kind of Cold War weapon or suspicion about Bumblebee, about the Autobot? Or if somebody had stepped up. I mean, so far, the only people who were actually acting with some sense was John Cena. Character's the only one, like, acting with some damn sense. And
yeah, he was like, they're called Decepticons. No one says anything wrong with that.
And I like that they kept it light. They did not make it too heavy, so I appreciated that. I missed some of Michael Bay's silliness that he put in his original Transformers, but at the same time, I was pleased with the end result because the director, Travis Knight, he's a good director, and I hope that he'll do better with the product in the future. He basically treated this like an origin story. I was not a big fan of the writing. I can't tell if she actually cared about the Transformers lore. It seems that she was more focused on telling this girl Hailee Steinfeld's character story.
Yeah, so it's Bumblebee stories. A teenage love drama
so she's Transformer. A robot.
Yeah.
Male romantic lead was a bumbling idiot for the most part. I mean, that dude was late for everything. And he was just kind of short at the end with nothing to contribute.
He shows up on the bike. He was like, hey, is everything still going on? Like, nope, it's over, kid. So,
Josh said it contributed nothing. Maybe it could have been like, collaboration.
His only contribution is to tell her that Bumblebee's tearing down the house.
Yeah, he didn't contribute anything else to the story except through her coming of age moment when she has some kind of romantic angle. Even that is completely platonic.
Yeah, because, so,
they were trying too hard to capture that 80s Spielberg moments, and it really didn't work out well. In truth, like, it was done before in the first Transformers movie, more convincingly. They just need to get rid of the creepy Bay parts where he was just overly sexualizing Megan Fox's character. Other than that, I felt the action was good. To say Travis Knight did a good job with the action scenes, because I could follow every one of the action sequences without any difficulty. Usually with Transformers, you got to take a step back and be like, what the hell's going on?
Well, why we got these weird Keith, eggs? Let me stop you for a second. So one of those action scenes involves Bumblebee getting shot in the face and dying and then being resurrected. But what did you think about that?
I'm going to keep shooting him with the gun to revive him with my willpower and love. I'm like, no, it doesn't work that way. I'm like, she's supposed to be a mechanic. And not only that, she's supposed to be someone who's worked on him and helped rebuild him. It'd have been cooler if she just ripped open his chest plate and said, hey, his power goes here. Do this, do that. She's doing a whole Abyss moment where she's just banging on his chest. Fight, but we'll be fight. She could have done that whole thing. And instead, pass me the electric gun. Come on, give me another. What the hell are you doing?
The weapons that are meant to destabilize him and make him weak make him come back to life? Yeah. What?
Yeah. Yeah. They kind of treat the audience like they were like little kid. Oh, the little kid's going to understand if she zaps some robot. Instead, had this been a movie about cars or a race car, and her car blew a gasket or something, and she just stands, starts banging on it with a damn sledgehammer, that's not going to fix the damn problem. But her ripping the damn thing out, replacing the gasket, and then starting up back up again, that's going to do the trick. They could have treated the audience with some little bit more respect in that regards, and had to do something like that. There's a point in some of these movies where I cut my brain off. The part where I start seeing like robots flying around and Cybertron, dude, my brain had already left. I was done. I was just soaking it in. At points, I'm just like, come on, man, get to the good part. Come on, hurry up. Come on, wake up, Bumblebee. All right, here we go. Fight to the Decepticons, please.
And then it goes back to, oh, Bumblebee, nobody loves me.
I kind of let you go. I'm just like, yeah, I can do without that. But I'm liking the direction they're going in. The last scene was good, seeing Optimus Prime in all his glory and the Gen 1 Optimus Prime walking down the street. I was like, yeah, this is what I'm talking about. I feel good about where it was going, as long as they keep the human element to a minimum.
Well, Keith, there's some people on the internet that consider this to be the best Transformers movie ever. Do you believe that?
The Dark of the Moon was probably the best one.
Yes.
I mean, that was some... I mean, that was some quality shit, right? Dark of the Moon had everything. It had betrayal. It had love. It had love lost. It had, death, they had vengeance, they had like redemption. I mean, it just had everything, and it was Shakespeare for Transformers.
One of Richard Nimoy's last films.
Indeed, and that's a fine film to have on his resume, too. I'm a prime. I gotta tell you what I'm doing. He just took his shit. I was like, yes. And it was funny, it was amusing. I mean, all the actors were on point. They entertained when they wanted to entertain, they showed some emotion when they needed to show emotion. The human elements contributed to the Transformer elements. That's what it was. It wasn't two sides competing against one another. And the whole scene, and Barry, you know the scene I'm talking about, because you and I sat in the dang to stand in awe and stuff. Like at that scene in IMAX glory, flew a wingsuit through collapsing skyscrapers. That was an amazing shot.
Yeah, very good action scene. And also that building falling, very good action scene.
It's not ridiculous. Like, no way in hell that's ever going to happen like that. But it was so all-inclusive. It was diverse without forcing the diversity. Tyrese was with his boys. It was edgy to a point. It definitely showed a lot of what it went for. So after that, unfortunately, the Chinese money kind of corrupted Michael Bay's brain, and he just kind of went off the rails there. But what was the next one? Age of Redemption, and then the
Age of Extinction, Last Night.
That hot mess, and then Last Night. Oh, my God.
So, Keith, what score would you give Bumblebee?
I walked out and I said I was going to give it an 8.5. But that was nostalgia talking, because those Gen 1 Transformers looks, that meant a lot to me, because like I said, I had all those Transformers they showed. But that being said, I give this a 7.
And you are out of your mind. You are out of your mind.
I give it a 7. It's not a bad film. It's not a horrendously
bad film. It is.
It's not a
You
bad
are worse
film.
Than Matt.
I give it a 7. What? I'll watch it again.
What is your order of Transformer movies? I guess that's my question for you. You didn't think this is the absolute best, because I didn't think it was the absolute best. I agree with you.
Oh, no. By all means, it was not the absolute best. The order I give would be Dark of the Moon, the first Transformers movie. The second one, I give the Bumblebee movie. I'll put that in there. And then Age of Extinction, and then Last Night. So this will be right between the Age of Extinction mess when China took over and
Michael Bay walked up with Michael money Bay bags.
Michael Bay has some sense in his head. I'm just now coming away. I'll probably think differently. And the voices sound the same. I was like, this is amazing, dude. I loved it. That wasn't the whole thing. Most of the movie should have been that, focusing more on the Transformers, rather than this girl trying to reconnect with her dad and shit. I could have done without that.
Oh, Bumblebee. Mm-mm-mm. I don't understand the 7.
Well, what'd you give it?
I gave it a 3. It's the third best Transformers movie.
You gave it a 3.
Yeah, because...
What would you give the best Transformers movie?
I would give Dark of the Moon maybe an 8.5.
God damn.
And then the first Transformers movie, a 7. Mm-hmm. And then further down the scale is this movie.
Damn.
And then the rest of that, the second one, that is a 0.
Yo, I don't know why you hate that movie so much.
That movie's terrible. Age of Extinction is a 0. And Last Night is -1.
No, you're giving away way too many zeros, right? Way too many zeros, man.
The movie deserves
it. It has to have
something. That movie deserves it. That movie, Matt, how do you feel about The Last Knight?
Last Knight was terrible. I'm a Transformer fan myself, but The Last Knight, you can't have a movie where it shows Optimus Prime as the main guy and the focus of the movie, and he doesn't show up for the last 10 minutes.
Agreed.
You could have done without it. They should have named that movie Bumblebee.
Now, what I'm saying is that there has to be some redeeming value in that movie. Some way, some,
it ended.
Some form of function. Oh, my God. Did you like the look of the movie?
No.
That scene, Cybertron's...
Keith, I don't...
You did not find that scene visually impressive?
No, no. Nothing about that movie visually stunning, interesting, remotely positive. Nothing. Nothing. Understand. Nothing. Zero. Negative one. That's the Beast Game podcast.
Oh, my God. So, like, no, you wouldn't say anyone who was an old school Transformers fan to watch that movie. Like, personally, I would.
I would say that I understand why Matt changed the score, because...
What did he originally give it?
I think he gave it, like, a 5. And then he changed it to a 7.5. Again, I understand Matt's appreciation for Transformers. We have been in foreign countries looking for Transformers. That's the list that he will go to obtain a Megatron and turn into a Genesis. But, like Transformers, but I don't see anything with this movie that is over the beating of the head with Charlie Watson is this girl that's just out of place in her life. I don't want that part of that movie.
No, I don't want it either.
Bumblebee, but the bulk of the movie is that.
Yeah, the bulk of the movie is that, but the Transformers parts are so...
No, no. It doesn't balance out that way. It does not balance out.
It balances out that way perfectly.
It can't, because then it goes back...
It a good thing.
All right, so after the initial scene, Bumblebee gets to Earth. Charlie Watson finds Bumblebee. Charlie Watson and Bumblebee develops a relationship. Action scene. Decepticons come to Earth. Bumblebee and Charlie. Afro Dude gets introduced. Bumblebee and Charlie. Action scene. End of the movie. So
actually, you just hit something for me. I think I turned my head away and I was like rolling my eyes. That's the part where one of those middle scenes where they weren't talking about like what the Decepticons are doing and searching for him, but it was mostly about Charlie, stuff with that. I kept like looking at my phone at those parts. So
her losing her father.
Let me backtrack on that. Like, 'cause now that I'm thinking about it, there was way too many times, especially during those scenes, where I just turned away and I started looking on my phone. And I got bored with that mess because I'm like, I'm not trying to hear this. And my girl was on me. She was like, movies have to have feelings, you know.
Not this movie. Not this movie.
Not my Transformers. Like, it's robots beating up robots.
Again, as I said in one of the podcasts.
This would be the second time this has happened. I'm going to adjust my score based on your argument. You brought up a very good point. I'm going to drop this down by a full point and a half. All right. Not even in Suicide Squad did I look at my phone. So I'm going to drop this by a point and a half. All right, so I gave it a 7, so we're going to drop this down to 5.5.
Yeah, I had to change Matt's score back to a 5 because I could not.
What?
That part of the movie that is all Charlie Watson and Bumblebee and Afro Dude is the bulk of the movie, just with a little sprinkle of Transformers.
The original trilogy of Transformers with Shia LaBeouf, his scenes were entertaining. He was at least entertaining a little bit. I mean, he was actually,
and he was integral to the story. I mean, regardless of how you might feel about the Michael Bay movies, at least the humans were integral to the story. Like this one,
or they provide some comedic relief or something.
Yeah,
it was like, you know, gave us something. But he was enjoyable. I liked him. You know, it's a pity the actor went nuts. Who knows? I mean, it was clear that the story was actually, and it was interesting because most of the lore in Transformers was kind of built around his character. You know, like I said, they all culminate into a nice little Dark of the Moon, which is pretty funny. Because, I mean, like, Sam Witwicky going to his new job in the third one.
John Malkovich.
Come call himself Deep Wing, Ken Leong and stuff. He ends up uncovering the Decepticons being around and on the moon and stuff. He had a part to play in the whole overarching saga. He's always had a part to play in that whole thing. It was interesting to kind of see how all that played out. And I mean, this girl, she could have been the one who fixed them, who understands Transformer technology. I mean, they could have did something pretty badass with her. But they didn't. Instead, he's like, oh, I miss my dad. Oh, my God, I'm going to die. I can't dive in the water because my dad's like, why is we diving in the water? I'm like, God.
Yes. Come on, man. That is what I'm talking about. That is what I'm talking about with this movie. That this movie is that. So, again, I gave this a 3. The movie deserves a 3 because that Charlie Watson stuff, man. Oh,
God. I wasn't too keen about it, but...
It's not a 7. It's not a 7.5.
Gen 1 Transformers, I understand. Like, once you saw Cybertron in his glory, Cybertron looked like how the cartoon series was. It was like, dude, that's a space bridge. That tower they were launching from?
Yeah.
That's a space bridge, dude. I'm like, yo, that's a space bridge. You can see the Transformer ship. I'm like, oh, come on, man. It's the Autobot ship right there. Optimus Prime handling things at the end, yo. Look like he's about to die. I'm like, no, Optimus. Yeah, he came out at the end. He's just walking down the street. And then, like, I saw the truck. I'm like, oh, that's Optimus Prime's truck. I'm like, wait, that's Optimus Prime. That's Optimus Prime.
Now they try to rush off Dinobots in there.
I don't know about that, man. The Dinobots didn't do too well the last time they introduced them.
They look like aliens. No one cares about them. They weren't that powerful beasts that everyone knows that they are.
Matt, they already introduced the Dinobots, dude. That didn't work out too well.
They're not Dinobots. I don't know what they were. They weren't Dinobots.
Sorry, Matt. I'm sorry. The Dinobots
are they were Skrulls. They were Skrulls. They weren't really Dinobots. That's part of that whole Marvel invasion. You didn't know about that? You won't convince me them things are Dinobots.
Yeah, now what they really need to do is they need to merge G.I. Joe and Transformer licenses together. Make a little TV series that. Make a movie about that. That'd be awesome.
You really think that would be awesome?
Well, John Cena looks like a G.I. Joe.
He looks exactly like a G.I. Joe. Square jaw, box cut.
Which direction do you try to go to at this point, though? Seeing like what you've seen, where do you go from here? You're the director for this Transformer U. Where do you go from here?
First of all, I take it back to basics. Autobots set up their base in nice isolated location. Keep it simple. They interact with a couple of humans, but it's all about the Autobots' mission. Right? No feelings. No talking deep intellectual thoughts about how am I going to see my mom. None of that bullshit. Autobots and Decepticons don't have moms. So how the fuck are they going to relate?
All right, so my answer to this in another podcast was the same direction that Into the Spider-Verse went into, that it's now CG animated and you can do much more with that.
Do you think it'll cost less?
Can they do a better story? Yeah. Do they distance themselves from the Michael Bayness? Yes. Is it a new direction for the series? Yes. That's the Beast Game Podcast.